Good morning.
Morning.
It's a pleasure and privilege to be up here, but we thank you that our brother already prayed that we're going to go home, so we're done. Or at least a safe travel on the way home. Thank you, Savior. A very, very appropriate song we sing, Trust and Obey. I mean, all of them are of course, are appropriate songs, but we're talking about trusting and obeying, and one of the significant things that God wants us to do is to obey Him, obey His word. And before we begin, let's just begin in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the songs we can sing, the songs that will praise you. We thank you for being able to remember you. The song we sang even in the first service, the words help us to reflect upon you and also look into our character and examination. And we know that your people, as you were, the word of God has gone forth, had them doubting their faith, and you wanted to have them to exhort them. To examine, self-examination. And those same subjects, those same demonstrations or situations are especially current for us too. And remembering the joy of the Lord. We thank you again that as we progress in our lives and growth in Christ, that we know that we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us and loves us. We thank you now for our time as we continue and look in your word and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be working out of Hebrews 11 again. I think I was there a couple months ago, so you forgot about everything I said, so I can say it again and I'll be all right. But I'm not going to do that. I hope I don't do that. Hebrews chapter 11, but I'm going to read chapter 12, just a part of the first verse. The summary of Hebrews 12, or of summary of like Hebrews chapter 11, we can find in Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also have compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So great a cloud of witnesses. They are witnesses to us because God witnessed to them as he witnesses to us. In each example we're going to talk about in chapter 11, God gave witness to that person's faith. The witness was God's divine approval of their lives and their ministries. The writer of Hebrews makes it clear that faith is a very practical thing. In verse 3, I believe, of chapter 11. A very practical thing. And and the readers, as I mentioned, I'll repeat from a couple months ago, the readers, I'm going to repeat, to the epistle originally were second generation believers. And from our studying in Acts, our recent study in Acts, as we're going in our first 10 chapters, we noticed that the first generation of believers started to have persecution, and we were studying in each chapter how persecution grew from religious persecution to governmental persecution, and the same thing happened here. Now we have one generation later, and the persecution persists, and we know that they've scattered, and what do you think is happening in their minds? Should we go back? Should we go back to what we had before? If you think about it, when we go back to the Old Testament, which we're going to be looking at, when the Israelis were taken out of Egypt and wandering, what did they want to do back? They wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, leeks and onions, not my favorite food, by the Nile, and probably not the cleanest water to drink, but they wanted to go back. And the same with us today. You have that desire, and we hope we don't have that desire, but that desire always, or thoughts always creep in from the devil. We sang a song this morning, Come Thou Fount, and it had Come Thou Fount of Everybody, but it said, Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It. And I think everyone has, as they've grown in Christ, has felt that and even feels it today. There's always some distraction, as we would say, with our government being one thing. It's always a distraction. And there's something always coming along to try to distract us from and ebb away at our faith in God. But they were influenced to go back to Judaism. In Hebrews 12:1, I'm sorry, 12:1, we already did that. But I just want to go back to Hebrews 2:1 as but the basis, not a basis of anything about the Hebrews, but it says here, again, in that same wandering or the pull, it goes, therefore, and it says, it's actually in Schofield, it says, here is warned. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And the current thought about our current situation, not just the Hebrews, we can apply it to ourselves. And I think the reader, and for us, as we can acknowledge and say this is the best way to grow in faith is to walk with the faithful. And the writer here, of course, turns to the Old Testament, and because basically that's all they had. And we've seen in our studies in Acts that what were the preaching from Peter going back and Stephen going back to the history of their people, something that they could identify with. And we should do the same thing, go back to things that we can identify with and apply to our lives, our current applications. And I only say one is, no one's fallen asleep yet because it's hours changed. We're all tired, of course. And I'll go along with me too. So I know I won't fall asleep up here. I had some coffee, I think, or whatever. But to apply that is that yesterday, and I had to go to a, not had to go. We didn't have to go. If there was severe storms, I wouldn't have been there. But my grandchildren were in a musical, and it's a 2-hour drive. And we're, concerned a little bit about the weather, a little bit, nothing there, but clear skies all the way. Got into all the way to their home. But on the way there, there was a road, it was the road as you normally take. And I looked, I go, ooh, this is a 2-lane road. It's a little curvy. It's like you're actually riding on the Comet down around in between counties, must be. But the road was paved, and the road was lined brightly. Great for me, at my age and my sight, and finding out I'm having problems. And I go, and you put that in the back of your mind, just like anything you experience, you put it in the back of your mind. And we sat down, ate lunch, and then went to a 2.5-hour musical with all the high school students screaming at you when their favorites. For their favorite person or friend did something on stage, and and I got my hearing aids on, and I'm going, whoa. And on top of that, I think the volume was turned up for the musical too, so I couldn't understand some of the words. It was so loud. And it was over, boom, now we got to drive 2 hours back, you know. We were trying to make it so we wouldn't be there driving at night. Some of us can associate with that a little bit or recognize or up. And we succeeded. Now, the problem was that all that rain that they forecast came. And it came on that little curvy two-lane road. And it was dark. Not dark from darkness, but dark because of the storm. And the rain was very, very heavy. And I got to where, the wipers had to go, and you still couldn't see. And I'm still having, with my sight, I'm still going. And, you put that in the bag, and you say, wow, they paved the road, they lined the road. These things were prepared for me. I wasn't as unconfident. I was very confident to drive that necessary part of the roadway and part of the throughway. But then, boom, it was, we were out of it and dry road most of the way home. But these are things that you apply or applications to learning. You say, just a little road. But the confidence you have and the faith that you have. How about increasing your faith, ways of increasing your faith, which we're talking to talk. Hopefully I get to talk to you about here. But in the same thing, as we go back again, let me change and get off the news, these things. I won't sing any songs or dance. But it also said in Come Thou Fount, may I walk on earth a stranger. And if we look at the chapter 11 of the Old Testament accounts, they walked and were as a stranger in a strange land. And each of the instances we're going to try to bring up here, as many as I can, we will find elements of faith in each of these. And sometimes you might have, I don't know if you want to stretch the meaning of it, but four things you can look for. God spoke to them through his word. Their inner selves were, stirred up in different ways. Mostly from our song that thank you for Xavier for trust and obey. The main thing is they obeyed God. And in each case, we're going to see that God bore witness about them. He made it significant that it was significant to them. The first one is verse 4. And we talked about Abel last time, and we're just going to quickly just go over it again because it's one of the first ones. What applications do you have? And I've got some W's or found some W's that said Abel had faith worshiping. All right? When we worship, we increase our faith because each of us hopefully have increased our faith in our worship today. Some little things. We know that, we know this, we know that. But there's something that was said, something that you sang, the words that you spoke, sang out, had an impression or another reminder on top of what you've already known. It might have been the same thing, but it was another reminder. Just like my driving. We all drive on roads, but it was something else that was there. Abel. We know his story. The background story is in Genesis 4. Abel was a righteous man because of his faith. And we find that in Matthew 23:35. God had revealed to Adam and his descendants the true way of worship. And Abel obeyed God by faith. In fact, his obedience cost him his life. Cain was not a child of God. We find that if we go back and read through our scriptures, 1 John 3:12, he's mentioned, because he did not have faith. He was religious, but not righteous. Abel speaks to us today as the first martyr of the faith. And I got this word, and it's still life situations. He was religious, but not righteous. On that same road home, my wife said, you know, it's always been there for years. On this corner in the town, there's a church on every corner. And so it's raining lightly by then. We're not... So we tried to read all the signs and see which church is a Lutheran church and everything. We're looking at the sandstone or the what type of construction, brick and everything. But that was another little thing that, he looked at it and said, we don't see any gospel church. Well, we can make out again in the rain. It was a thing about, the first thing that hit me was when I looked at it, who's religious but not righteous. The next one we have is Enoch, and we all know about Enoch as he walked with God in verses 5 and 6. And here we have faith walking. What's a walking faith? And you can have that description in either way. There's many different ways, but here, again, many different ways or applications or demonstrations. These are all demonstrations of faith. Our faith in God grows as we fellowship with God. In other words, walking with God. We must have the desire to please him and the diligence to seek him. I have a note there. Look up another word for diligence, and I never did that, so I still have the note, but maybe I shouldn't read it to you. That I forgot to do something. We must have both the desire to please him and the diligence to seek him or work. Prayer, meditating on the word. Discipline. All these help us to walk with God. Enoch walked with God in a wicked world before the flood came. He was able to keep his life pure. Enoch, we know, was taken up to heaven. Translation, in other words, carried across the great divide. And seen no more. Abel died, as in chapter 4, Abel died a violent death, but Enoch never died. God has a different plan for each one who trusts him. Going on now to Noah, and I have faith working, and when I just looked at this working, he had to build the boat. You know, that was my first thing. I'm going to say he built the boat, faith working. And Noah, as we know, his faith involved, it actually involved the whole person, you can almost attempt. His mind was warned of God, it says. His heart was moved with fear. And I don't know if that's fear that we fear the dark or something. It's just a fear of what God has been spoken to him in. And his will acted on what God told him. He obeyed. Since nobody at that time had ever seen a flood, matter of fact, probably not even a rainstorm, Noah's actions must have generated, of course, a great deal of interest. And we know we can think of the things that were going on when you do something that's way, way, way out of line with what the world is doing. And he probably was ridiculed, which we always know. Noah's faith influenced his family, and they were saved. It also condemned the whole world, for his faith revealed their unbelief. Events proved that Noah was right. And our Lord Jesus used this experience to warn people to be ready for his return. Let me just go to Matthew 24 here. Again, from our Bible studies last year, it comes across. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark. And I will not finish reading that for now, or even for the rest of the time I'm here. But you can pick it up at Matthew 24, through 36 to 42. In Noah's day, again, just like it said in Matthew, the people were involved in innocent everyday activities. What are we involved in as we grow up in each generation? We get involved in innocent everyday activities and completely, people that we talk to, they completely ignore our witness, or ignore even in this case, in the Noah's witness in the time of the patriarchs. There's another reference to 2 Peter 2:5. We'll go on. The next section is a little bit larger, and it's the patriarchs, verses 8 through 22. It spans, and they have this faith waiting. You think of all of the times of the patriots, of the faith, their faith waiting. And the emphasis in this section is on verses, is on the promise of God and his plans for the nation of Israel. You look at verse 9, by faith he sojourned, and this we see him as Abraham going out. Verse 11, verse 13. We know that the nation began with the call of Abraham. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. But they had to wait 25 years for the fulfillment of that promise. Their son Isaac was the father of Jacob and Esau, we know. We are well aware. And it was Jacob who really built the nation to the birth of his 12 sons. At the end, as we go through generation to generation, Joseph saved the nation in the land of Egypt. And Moses, and later Moses, delivered them from Egypt. I'll come across this a little bit later, but that in a nutshell was the patriarchs. And I didn't interject all of the different times of waiting and impatience and everything, because this section of Hebrews is for an encouragement to those that were stumbling, or actually they suddenly got their feet stuck in the mud and they couldn't go forward with Christ, and they started going, I can't go forward, but the path is still behind me, I'm going to go back. They were at that point, and God always wants us to go forward in our growth, never backwards. So we'll talk about that a little bit, try to just make mention of that and apply it later on. Here we go. But waiting for me, and probably for you, is probably the, one of the most difficult disciplines to have. And also a difficult discipline of life. There's too many distractions, that was he said. Our focus gets nipped off here. You want to walk like this, but you ever try walking maybe with only one arm or one leg? I'll bring up the newsies again. There was one character called Crutchy, and he had a crutch. And he did a very good job because he had one leg that was supposed to be lame all the time. So he was crutchy, and he always had the crutch around. And once in a while, he got the crutch knocked out. But he was very good because everywhere he climbed stairs or everything, he used a crutch or slipped. Part of the acting was slipping and falling and people picking him up. But, you get the light crutchy. But, I lost my place here. But waiting is one of the most difficult ideas, and we know of all the waiting that the patriarchs did, and they didn't get to see. They got to see far off. They could see the destination, but they never got to be in that final destination. They saw the promises, and they had faith. True faith is able to wait for the fulfillment of God's promises in God's time. But while we are waiting, we must be obeying. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, blah, 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 obeyed. All right? He obeyed when he did not know where he was going. And brought up again, I thought of Come Thou Fount, is that may I walk on earth a stranger. And he lived in tents. Matter of fact, all of them that we mentioned lived in tents because he was a stranger and a pilgrim in the world. And he had to be ready to move. And we always mentioned it in our talk. Christians, too, are also pilgrims on this earth. We have a promise of a future. You know? And if you think about it, Abraham and we sometimes live in a future tense, a home in heaven. Again, they were pilgrims. They were lived in tents. They had their eyes on the prize, if we want to say it's not a prize, a reward from our being faithful. He also obeyed when he did not know how God's will would be accomplished. Verses 11 and 12. What do we mean by that? Well, he was promised a child. They waited 25 years. Unbelief asks, how can this be? In Luke, first chapter 1, verses 18, 19, and 20, we have the same question by Zechariah to the angel Gabriel. Faith asks, how shall this be? And we see that also in Luke chapter 1 with Mary and the angel Gabriel. I had to get Gabriel in. I was always earlier on in preaching up here. I always get Jordan in the Jordan River. We got to move on and have a few other people in recognized in the right way or the wrong way, I guess. But Abraham believed and obeyed God when he did not know when God would fulfill his promises. In verses 13 through 16. None of the patriarchs saw the complete fulfillment, as they said, of God's promises. But they saw from afar off what God was doing. Our God always fulfills his promises to his believing people, either immediately or ultimately. And we are more aware of it than they were because we have the complete Word of God in our hands. And we see what God has done so far and will do in the future. Abraham obeyed God by faith when he did not know why God was so working. In other words, God was testing his faith, and God tests our faith in our lives. Why would God want Abraham to sacrifice his son when it was the Lord who gave him that son? All of the future nations' promises were wrapped up in Isaac. We see the tests of faith become more difficult as we walk with God. Yet the rewards are more wonderful. Just as a side note, we must not ignore the obedient faith of Isaac. we have to admire the faith of the patriarchs. They did not have a complete Bible, and yet their faith was strong. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, we have four generations of faith. These men sometimes failed, but basically they were men of faith. They handed God's promises down from one generation to another. These men and women believed God, and what did he do? He bore witness to their faith. We stretch to verse 23 about Moses. Moses was fortunate to have believing parents, if we note as we read our Bible. For them to hide their baby, for her baby's son, from the authorities was certainly an act of faith. And in dwelling on that, as we Bible study-wise, we find that account of this in Exodus 2, 1 through 10. When we find out the parents' names in Exodus 60, 20. But didn't we just see that in the Peter and John with the raising of the lame man going to court? You know, you guys can sit in jail for the night and then we'll talk to you. You know, and then what did they do? The religious Sanhedrin in the court warned and threatened them not to do that. And we know that Peter recounted that we can't. What we've seen and what we witness, we have to tell. And it's more important than what God has said than what you had said. And we have the same thing here all the way back for us to identify from our Bible study all the way back to Moses' birth and his parents. Though godly parents can't pass on their faith, and we'll go, well, yeah, sure, Chuck, Moses was only 2 or 3 years old. That was Esther's, you know, Evelyn's age. You know, we'll cut that down right away. No. Though godly parents cannot pass on their faith as they do family traits, they can create an atmosphere of faith at home and be examples to their children. So I went back on, and I go start thinking, well, yeah, there was Miriam, you know, and his brother, and I just lost it in my mind. No shout outs, please. No, it'll come there. Right? Aaron. But they were raised in the home, again, consistent. But they were examples to their children. And one mentioned a home should be the first school of faith for a child. I guess the second one will say, is Sunday school. Oh, okay, no. All right. Verses 24 and 25, it says, we move fast forward 80 years. Moses' faith enabled him to face Pharaoh, unafraid, and to trust God, to deal with his enemy. The endurance of Moses, as we know, was not a natural gift. For by nature, Moses was kind of a hesitant man, as we read, and from his background material. But so this endurance and courage came as a reward for his faith. The faith of Moses was rewarded with deliverance for him and his people. When we trust God, we get what God can do. But Moses, faith wandering. Is there a couple verses missing? I don't think they're missing in my Bible. But faith wandering. You know, by faith they passed through the Red Sea on the dry land, which the Egyptians, attempting to do, were drowned. We know the story. But where's the next 40 years? I've got 29, and I've got 30. But what happened? We all probably are quite familiar with that. Question becomes, you know, out of some verses left out, there's no mention of Israel's failure and 40 years of wasted time. Why? How come? Because that was an experience of unbelief, not faith. The writer did not use this experience in Hebrews. He did use this experience in Hebrews 3 and 4. There was a, if you look at the book of Hebrews, he does talk about unbelief and their unbelief. But right now, he's in a chapter that he's trying to encourage and push on out of that stickiness to keep going the way you're going, to follow and have more faith in God. In Hebrews 3 and 4, the writer uses illustrations of doubting the word. But nowhere in Hebrews 11 will you find a record of any failure because of unbelief. Faith only records victories. Our last one. I keep looking at my watch because, just a sidelight again, I never changed the time on my watch from November. So my watch is correct today. Don't you just pull that pin out and turn? No, not with this watch. You have to go online and find the watch. And find the watch's model number and everything and do something, and it changes it just like that. So now my watch is correct. We still have a little bit of time. Two more pages, I think. Joshua and Rahab, our last one here. Faith winning. I've got another W or winning that came across on the study. The account of the conquest of Jacob is found in Joshua chapters 2 through 6, as we know. Joshua was Moses, as we know again, was Moses' successor and leader of Israel. And he succeeded because he trusted the same God that Moses had trusted. God changes his workmen, but he does not change his principles. You see that throughout the Bible, throughout our lifespan here, application. God changes his workmen, but he does not change his principles of operation. He blesses faith and he judges unbelief. From a human point of view, Jericho was, we know, an impossible city to conquer. However, Joshua's first act of faith was not the defeat of the city, but the crossing of the Jordan River. Got him in there. By faith, our nation crossed the river. By faith, the nation crossed the river just as the previous generation. That had crossed the Red Sea. This was a witness and a warning to the Canaanites, nations, that Israel was marching forward by the power of God. Rahab was a harlot. My last example to dwell on here. She's kind of an unlikely person to put faith in the true God of Israel. But God in his mercy and grace permitted Rahab to live. She was saved by faith. What she knew about God is recorded in Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And she knew that Jehovah had delivered Israel from Egypt, and that he had opened the Red Sea. I'm going to remember this was 40 years ago. The story was still of great memory in the Canaanite world. She also knew God had defeated the other nations during Israel's wilderness wanderings. The 11th verse of Joshua, in Joshua 2, we find this statement from her. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. This was her testimony of faith, and God honored it. Going forward, she was saved with good works. She was saved unto, not saved with good works. She was, that's wrong. She was saved unto good works. True faith must always show itself in good works. We find that in James chapter 2, verses 20 to 26. She protected the spies, we know. Put the cord in the window as directed. Apparently won her family to true faith. If you read on in Joshua 2:13 and 6:25. So she apparently won her family to the true faith, and in every way, the Lord. Not only was Rahab delivered from judgment, but she became a part of the nation of Israel. She married Salmon and gave birth to Boaz, who was an ancestor of King David. We find that in genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. Imagine a pagan harlot bearing a part of the ancestry of Jesus Christ. This is what faith can do. It's interesting when you, again, start analyzing Rahab. Jewish, how they didn't like Canaanites, didn't like everyone, but yet she's in the book. You know, already some a Gentile, way before we talked in chapter 10 of Acts about Gentiles coming in, but here we have that example all the way back that far for our information and value, and for them as the Israelites as they discuss not being, you know, the Jewish proselyte. Rahab is certainly a rebuke, as we finish here, to unsaved people that we know in a confront or come in contact with, who give excuses for not trusting Christ. I don't know very much about the Bible. Look at Rahab, guys. Is an excuse we often hear. Rahab knew had very little spiritual truth, but she acted on what she knew. Or, I'm too bad to be saved. Another excuse. But Rahab was a condemned heathen harlot. Another excuse is, what will my family think? Rahab's first concern was saving her family, not opposing them. She'll stand as one of the great women of faith in the Bible. As we continue on, if we would continue on in the chapter, we have a variety of personalities we have. What a variety. Various heroes of faith, we say, are listed here, and a lot of them nameless. Faith can operate in the life of any person who will dare to listen to God's word and surrender to God's will. Faith enables us to turn the approval of the world and seek only the approval of God. Faith looks to the future, for that is where the greatest reward can be found. In verse 6 of chapter 11, we have this familiar statement: without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please him. And this kind of faith grows as we listen to his word and fellowship and worship and prayer, fellowship with him. Faith is possible to all kinds of believers in all kinds of situations. It is not a luxury for just a few elite saints. It is a necessity for all of God's people. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for thoughts and what we can glean from your word. Lord, we thank you again for providing us this day and providing us the desire to come and worship you, to remember you, to learn more about you, to learn new things that we can address and apply in our lives, that there's many different situations, many different ways in worship, in patience, in walking, all these things can be added in our way, in your own way, our personal way of being able to be blessed and follow you. Thank you as we close and we ask you safe travel as our brother Xavier did. We thank you and pray for our country with not just the confrontations that we know about, but all many, many confrontations that we have, Lord. And we, again, faith has us, that power, faith has us, given us an understanding of how you work with patience in your time. And we look forward to being faithful to you in the coming days as we walk with God. Thank you now, and we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.